Scripture this morning is from Matthew 5, starting at verse 33. That says it. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord." But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. It's the word of the Lord.
Something's coming. We're fans of the show Blue Bloods, and one of the sayings you hear is, "You can't save every puppy in the pound." Yeah, I see. I never know what Sarah's going to do, and she does it so that I can't even challenge her until next time. All right. You can't save every puppy in the pound. We all have a limit to what our efforts can do. We have only so many resources. We live in a finite world as mortals. I can't be in two places at once, but you kind of wish you could. There is that whole mortality, the whole finiteness thing happening again. We will die. There are only 24 hours in a day. There is no available ubiquity pill, the being present in other places. So boundaries are a necessity. You have to know when to say no, when to say yes. And I want to help us see and actually celebrate today that boundaries help us do our job of promoting the kingdom of God. That's our calling. And by doing that, we then enter into the joy of the Father. Boundaries do this first by keeping us safe, and second, by focusing our efforts. And boundaries are necessary. Boundaries are necessary for safety. Skin is a boundary. Kind of keeps the insides in. And it's a barrier against infection and other things. We have a boundary to who we are. Where I am stops with my skin. Property. There are boundaries about property. We talk about having boundaries on our property, but also there are boundaries around the other things that we might have, one of which is we are free to give our boundaries, or to give our things away, but no one is free to take them. That's why we call it theft. There are boundaries concerning that. And time has boundaries. If you want to tell somebody how to use their time, there's a word for that. It's called slavery. The whole Emancipation Proclamation means no one has a right to tell you what to do with your time. But there's wisdom about the boundaries we put on our time ourselves. I will do this, I will not do that. We put boundaries on it. So without boundaries, without the boundary of skin, we bleed. Without boundaries surrounding property, we lose necessary resources. Without the boundary surrounding time, we're unable to perform what is essential. Boundaries are necessary. Now, sometimes Christians react against the idea of boundaries. Because we know we've been called to be servants. Oh, I shouldn't say no at all. I should just do what others ask me to do. But Jesus said no to the devil in the wilderness. He said no to the Pharisees, kind of repeatedly. And he said no to a crowd that demanded a miracle. The world uses boundaries as an excuse to be selfish. Now, Congregational Christians, we have a special tie to boundaries. We freely choose to follow Jesus Christ as Lord, who freely chose to give up heaven, to give his life, and to save the human race. So our role model surrendered the crown, and he embraced the cross. Our first American examples of a congregational Christianity, the Mayflower Pilgrims. It was a result, the first Thanksgiving was a result of one congregational church valuing the boundary of Christian obedience more highly than the existing boundaries of the land that they called home. Sometimes you have to choose which boundary is most important to you. So, boundaries have an essential function about productivity. They help us promote the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Much more than inviting people to believe in him, Jesus invited people to follow him. We begin by seeking the kingdom of God. We find that obeying God as king means inviting others to join the kingdom as followers of Jesus. You know, there are many different ways. Not everybody has to do it the same way. But there are even more ways, more choices that will not promote the kingdom of God. You know, robbing a bank. It's hard to promote the kingdom of God, robbing a bank. Jesus said it's a broad path that leads to destruction. So, one of the ways that boundaries help us with productivity is that they are guidelines. Friday, I had the privilege of driving for 6 hours. And so I got to thinking about those little stripes on the road. Are those boundaries or guidelines? When you're on a two-lane road at night, and a car is coming toward you, do you want the oncoming driver to consider those lines as mere suggestions? But if there's a broken down vehicle in your lane and no cars are coming, do you have to stay in your lane? No. It's permissible to go around even if it's crossing the meridian. Are guidelines voluntary? Some are. Are guidelines required? Some are. We seek wisdom. There's wisdom that is common grace for everyone to know, but there's wisdom that we have a line on because of our relationship with God through the Father. So when is everyone called to help? And when is it more specific? You know, you get asked to do a lot of things. How do you know what's right for you? Well, some duties are owed to all. We call these commandments. Love God. First four commandments of the ten. Love neighbor. The Christian knows that this includes caring for your neighbor's eternal life. So I've got to be learning how to share my faith. I've got to be looking for opportunities. Talking continually with the Heavenly Father about where is there an opening to share. But some things you're not called to. Some duties are gift and opportunity specific. What you're gifted to do, what you have opportunity to do, that has something to say with what you're due to do. I was going to say that. You know, aren't we supposed to be able to meet our accuser? You know? Next service. Now, Carol read us a specific passage about God's boundaries for speech. And it's a lot about truth. The world did it then, it does it now, says we can manipulate the truth. It doesn't matter what the definition of is. The culture Jesus was speaking to had put a double standard firmly in place. It said if you swore by God, you had to keep your word. You know, the commandment says you shall not bear false witness. There existed this incredible double talk in the Jewish society at the time of Jesus surrounding the idea of when you actually had to keep your word. And it might sound absurd, but we do it all the time. Politicians of all stripes choose to attack one another viciously and then call it campaign hyperbole. And we did it all. You know, we'd say some real whopper and then say, well, I had my fingers crossed. Well, if you swore by God, you had to keep your word. If you swore by Jerusalem, you didn't have to keep your word. It was you were duty-bound and legally obligated to keep your word if you swore in the name of God. Some knucklehead somehow convinced people of influence that if you swore by the temple or by Jerusalem, you didn't have to keep your promise. But if you swore toward Jerusalem, you had to keep your word. That's what was going on. It's like, are you kidding me? Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. There's a concept. And you might think, you know, how could they live with that? But every time anyone says to us, and we participate in the old, excuse my French, ha ha. Why is such language used? Isn't it to add emphasis? Those words are supposed to make people think that really this time we're telling the truth. Or that somehow we're more emphatically telling the truth than somebody who doesn't use those chestnuts. If you have to add a special vocabulary in order for people to know you're actually telling the truth this time, something's wrong. Sometimes we're afraid to tell the truth. We want to cover up what we've done. But if we trust that God is really our defender, take the risk. Simply speak the truth in love. And you are really trusting God to be your Savior. God is able and God is good. God can't help your real life if you won't live in your real life. Tell the truth. Make the boundary. And don't let lies in. Now, so one boundary for speech is truth, but there's another boundary, and that's kindness. In your speech, is truth an absolute good? You could tell the truth and point out the faults in everyone you meet. See, the world weaponizes the truth. I was only speaking the truth. Pointing out faults might be true, but would it love your neighbor? Now, there's a synthesis of this, and one of the most famous ways of doing it is what Paul said, speaking the truth in love. It's from Ephesians. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head of the body of Christ, that is Christ. So, how do we live this out? We are called to be servants, but we're not called to be doormats. At one point I was a teller at a credit union, and I had one client that always came, and it was like, okay, here comes my daily dose of being just yelled at. And so finally I said, you sound angry to me, and I'm not aware of anything I've done to you. And just saying that changed things. You know, there was nothing resisting that. That's not being a servant to take that. But there's gracious ways to do it, too, instead of like firing back. So, we talked about boundaries in speech. Let's take a look at boundaries in relationship. And for this, we're going to be going to Galatians 6, 1 to 10. And do you have it all in one shot, or do you have it chunk by chunk? Okay. All right. Well, what's the next slide say? You have the whole thing? Okay, sure. We'll do that. I wasn't sure which way you were doing it here. So this is Galatians 6, 1 to 10. Good. There you go. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, if somebody sins, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share it in all good things, share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. And if you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. So there's a boundary that this talks about helping in a time of crisis. And so he said, my friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, if somebody sins, somebody falls to a temptation, you who have received the Spirit, you who are spiritual, should restore that person in a spirit of gentleness and take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens. And that's like a boulder, something too heavy for any one person to carry. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So bearing one another's burdens, we think about if somebody's overwhelmed by something, the folks in the fires, somebody who's had a tragedy within their own home or their own family, we rush to aid, to help somebody through something that they can't bear by themselves. But I believe there is a problem with how we often look at that verse and that we take it out of the context. We tend to even memorize verses or think about short phrases. But context is important. The context of carrying one another's heavy burdens, the context here is a discussion about helping someone who's fallen to a temptation. Being ambushed by a sin is a greater crisis. Souls are vulnerable. And he says, let the mature respond. The mature respond, because if somebody is mature, then they know that they too may already have or certainly could fall in the same way. There but by the grace of God go you and I. And we're to take care that we not also fall, because you can fall victim to the same temptation. There are temptations that I'm vulnerable to. It's not a good place for me to help somebody else with, but to find somebody else. Also, you can sin by falling into judgment, judgmentalism. You know, cluck, cluck your tongue, and you're not going to be helping anybody. Let's get you through this. Let's learn how to avoid this in the future. So there is a nice image. You might remember the film Fireproof. Kirk Cameron starred in it. And it's about a young man who's trying to save his marriage. He thinks it's helpless, but his father comes alongside him and walks him through a process by which the young man wins his wife's heart back. And when the father discloses his own history, then his son listens. When we are able to become vulnerable, people then listen to us. It's important to remember this context of bear one another's burdens being something more than a person can carry. That's why they fell victim. But also recognizing that we all are in need of community in order to help us be who we'd want to be before God. One of the graces God gives us to help us walk in the right path is the grace of community. We're powerless over sin. We need community to communicate grace. So there's that boundary, first of all, of helping in times of crisis. The passage goes on, and we look at judging only ourselves. It said, for if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, whether than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. All must carry their own load. Thinking you are something when you are not. The problem with that, the point of it is, without God and without each other, we are nothing. We need God. We need each other. If a brother or sister stumbles, we are the less. John Donne's No Man is an Island. You know, if a portion falls away, if somebody dies, if somebody stumbles, I am the less. We will all need help someday. I thought of the image of kryptonite. You know, that little image from the saga of Superman works because we can understand that someone who might be able to overcome many things might be vulnerable to something that is not a problem for maybe most of the world. We get that. We understand we each have our own kryptonite. And that humility helps us be able to help one another. You know, I got this problem, but I might be able to help you with that one. Can you trust God to back you up when, because you loved him, you were exposed to suffering? It's a risk for me to help that person. It's going to cost me something. Maybe finances, maybe time, maybe health, maybe reputation. Doing that is a form of sacrifice. And I think we saw recently, we don't want to offer God a sacrifice that costs us nothing. Our giving to God comes in a lot of different ways. So can you trust God? And yes, you can. Apply the boundary of paying careful attention to whether or not you're doing the right thing, and leave judging your brother or sister to God. God has your back. God is able. God is good. Jesus teaches us this new way to live, a way where we abandon conniving and take on showing care for others. How do we learn to do this? You know, the world says just, you know, ignore people. The best way to learn how to find that faithful way is in a small group. We all go through difficult times that we wouldn't want the whole world to know about. But we need help in them. If we have a small group of friends that we share our life with, that we've learned to trust, then it becomes natural for those folk to come to the aid of another member of the group who is in real trouble. Jesus goes on, or Paul goes on in this passage, to speak about the boundary of investing well. And it's not about money, it's investing effort. It's investing all our resources. He begins really with a financial. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. You will harvest whatever you plant. If you sow or plant to your own flesh, you will harvest corruption from the flesh. That's what you're going to get. Flesh meaning the lower nature, the sinful nature. But if you sow to the Spirit, if you invest in things of the Spirit, your harvest will be eternal life from the Spirit. So, let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. Paul starts out talking about the Word. The Word of Christ, this new way of living, is so life-giving and powerful that the one who explains it to you is worth his or her wages. And it's tied to the next verses. By sharing all good things with him or with her, you plant seed that will bear a bountiful spiritual harvest. What are you investing in? And our job as followers of Jesus is to promote the kingdom of God, is for that harvest. So it's investing all of what God gives us in many different ways. But in verse 9, Paul directly brings up the idea of boundaries. Let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. How do we protect ourselves and not grow weary in doing good? And the answer is by focusing our call. Henry Cloud and John Townsend are Christian psychologists who wrote a mammoth bestseller called Boundaries. And one of their significant points is that by saying no to what we should not be doing, we become free to say yes to what we should be doing. We help others when it is our turn to act as servant and emissary of Jesus to them. Sometimes it's anybody should respond. Sometimes it's got to be gift and opportunity specific. We wash their wounds. We help them heal. We say to them, neither do I condemn thee. And we see God smile and we hear his words, well done. We enter into the joy of the Father. So, and then the last boundary in this passage is the boundary of maintaining our identity as servants. We never get puffed up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. I was stunned when I saw that that's the slogan of the Bridgewater State University. Not to be served, but to serve. Now, as I mentioned before, that doesn't mean you say yes to every request. It is important to say no when it's appropriate. But Henry Cloud said it's more important not to be a jerk. We can't use this, I'm having boundaries, as an excuse to be selfish. That's why we have to be directed by God all the way through. So we do good for all, but especially for members of our faith family. That's our first obligation. Within our human families, we know that. And within our faith families, within our church, we know that. And we do it because we know that God will defend you when you put yourself out for his sake. When you put yourself out for his people's sake. When you do what is truly and powerfully and importantly, good. Doing the good. Especially toward the brothers and sisters God has given us in the family. We do that and we show that God is alive among us. You know, I went through that hard time, but my church came around. They rallied around me. They helped me. There is no protection in this world against people taking advantage of you. You don't have to let others knowingly beat on you. Jesus said not to cast our pearls before swine. But we're especially to spend ourselves and spend our energies in care for one another. And yes, that's risky. But if we've said the no's that help focus our energies, we're free to say the yeses that really matter. And that is to resemble Christ. We are especially to spend ourselves and our energies in care for one another. And when we take the risk and act uprightly in our relationships, trusting God to have our back, he brings those relationships into right relationship. God is able and God is good. The devil, the forces of evil, would like to render the Church of Jesus Christ ineffective by getting us to cross boundaries. You face a boundary when you're on the internet. You face a boundary on how you choose to use your time or how you allow your time to be shanghaied. Boundaries help us do our job of promoting the kingdom of God and so to enter into the joy of the Father. They do this first by keeping us safe and second by focusing our efforts. Let's pray. Oh God, we all confess that this is where rubber meets the road. What to say yes to and what to say no to. When to risk, when to conserve. And we don't want to be selfish, nor do we want to be foolish. We need your wisdom, your grace. But we thank you that that's why you have sent the Holy Spirit. So give us each, Lord, that attitude and habit of listening for your guidance. Help us to be deeply invested in knowing your word that we may know your will. And help us to be a household of faith, a true church, where doing good to one another is abundant and just sings your praise. And this we ask in Jesus' name.